This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's bring in Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Time now for Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Paul, Nathaniel Hackett has spoken. Some of the other coaches have spoken as well, but and we're going to hear from them coming up today and tomorrow. But not a whole lot of reveal there, other than the fact that, you know, he relies on his dad. They have a certain philosophy. It's all about supporting Matt. We know that. It's about supporting Matt and then the relationship with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, it just it sounds like a lot of cliche, which is kind of what I expected. It's not that it's bad. It's just that, what are they going to say right now? You know, I mean, here's our philosophy. Here's what the plays we're going to run, and we hope that Aaron Rodgers gets it. You know, I mean, come on.
Sure. No, yeah, there's a couple of things that I thought were interesting. It was pointed out to me by a couple of people on Twitter who commented, you know, and Bill, we've talked about how Matt LaFleur isn't like your bravado head coach. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be the guy that maybe lights up a room in terms of personality and anything like that. But what I had a couple people point out to me was that he hired two people. Well, he retained one, Mike Patton, and hired another, Nathaniel Hackett, who are more of that sort of bravado speaker and engaging in those type of ways. So I thought that was interesting just to kind of see the other side of the coin, that when these guys speak back to back to back, you can kind of see maybe where Patton and Hackett can fill in some of those blanks, you know, from a motivational sort of perspective, if LaFleur is going to be more of an X and L's guy. The other thing that I thought was interesting came out of Matt LaFleur's mouth in reference to the fact that, yes, Luke Getsy is the quarterback's coach and that he had asked Aaron Rodgers, Aaron, you know, what do you think about Getsy as the QB coach? And Rodgers gave him a thumbs up. But that all of the quarterback meetings, all of the QB meetings are not just going to be Rodgers and Getsy, or Rodgers, Getsy, and Hackett, but in fact, Matt LaFleur, as well as Hackett, as well as Getsy, are all going to be a part of every single quarterback meeting with Aaron Rodgers, and as Getsy said, to come at him at all angles. So if there's maybe a couple headlines that come out of it, I think that is an interesting story in that you're going to have pretty much the entirety of the key offensive staff members sitting in a room with Rodgers every week, giving him different things to think about. And as we know, there's a lot of things to fix with this roster, and there's questions about defense, and do they need to add talent, and, you know, big draft coming up. But Aaron Rodgers getting back to the Rodgers that he was prior to the past two seasons is obviously the number one most paramount aspect of the Packers getting back on the right track. And so I think that's certainly headline-worthy that those three guys are all going to be in a room with Rodgers every single time that they have a meeting.
Well, that and the fact that it seems like they're getting one – guys to take ownership of Aaron and Aaron to take ownership of them. So everybody's included in the game plan. So there is no deviation of saying, well, I didn't know this, or I want to do that, or whatever. This seems to be where everybody's going back to what Nathaniel Hackett said. It's about getting everybody on the same page and, quote, communication. So it seems to me like, yeah, we know that Rodgers has gone rogue every now and then, but we're going to give him some opportunities to take ownership of this thing. That's what it sounds like to me.
Which makes sense. It's one of the things you hit on, especially there, is the fact that LaFleur described Hackett as, you know, one of the most organized people he's known and one of the most organized coaches he's come across. Well, when you're the offensive coordinator, just like it was under Mike McCarthy, when you're the play calling head coach and you still have an offensive coordinator, you need to find something useful and productive for your offensive coordinator to do, because the offensive coordinator, in the case of Nathaniel Hackett here under LaFleur, and of the case under the various offensive coordinators that Mike McCarthy had, save for the 3 months of Tom Clemens calling plays in, what was that, 2014 or 13, you need to find something for those guys to do. So if Nathaniel Hackett kind of fills the role as the guy who keeps LaFleur organized, helps keep the meeting structures to be as they need to be, that's a useful tool to have, you know, in your tool chest as the head coach, is that you have a guy you know, and it was pretty made very clear the history that Hackett and LaFleur have with each other, the trust that they have in each other as, you know, as human beings, aside from just as coaches. And so that if they kind of have that unspoken bond, and if Hackett, obviously, to get this job, was comfortable being an offensive coordinator who does not call plays, then you need to find yourself useful in other ways. And it sounds like, you know, in mentioning him, in mentioning Hackett as being, you know, such an organized, detail-oriented guy, that might be a big part of what Hackett does, especially in the meetings that have three coaches in a room with Aaron Rodgers breaking down upcoming game plan, reviewing film, whatever the case might be. And so I think, again, as we look to the, you know, does Aaron Rodgers get back on track now that there's a new coaching staff in town, I think this is something that we can point back to and say whether it worked or not.
I wanted to ask you about, I mean, now, obviously, we haven't heard from the rest of the coaches. We haven't played it yet. But the fact that they're only giving them each 10 minutes, I mean, we'll get to talk to them more down the road, I'm sure. But it's kind of a weird introductory, isn't it?
It's a meet and greet. What was the year like Jerry Montgomery came in and they had quite a few new coaches? I want to say 2012, 2013. It was a very similar setup where, you know, it was a meet and greet. And in fact, with some of the non-coordinators, you had to pick, you know, you couldn't talk to all of them because over on one table was one coach and another table was another. And I'm saying this is, you know, the non-coordinators, the guys who are not up at the podium. It's not a new thing per se, but this is a meet and greet. This is not a, you know, learn the life story, you know, of these guys. This is a meet and greet and, you know, sort of a flyby operation in terms of what you're going to be able to get to know. And then to your point, once you have more time with them and it's not middle of February, then you can kind of get to know their stories a little bit more. But I think this is even something that happened under McCarthy where you kind of get the initial meet and greet, you know, the quick hitter type questions, and then maybe a little bit more detail down the road in a few months.
Wanted to ask you about the national perspective. I was watching over the weekend NFL Network, some ESPN analysts on the NFL matchup show. I was watching some of this stuff, and there seems to be a perception. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the national perception is that Mark Murphy wants his face out there. He wants to be the owner-esque guy that's going to guide this franchise. Look at me. I got to be honest. It almost as if I thought to myself, you guys don't know this franchise. I maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like, yes, Mark Murphy wanted to put a stamp on it. He also took Brian Gutekunst out of the spotlight a little bit in case this does not work out. He doesn't have to worry about Goody and people coming after him. This kind of is Mark's call. But I expect Mark now to kind of fade. He goes back to being the business guy. The football people do football things. And Mark wasn't at a press conference today. He wasn't down there announcing everybody. He didn't do any of that. This was strictly the coaches and the coaching staff. Do you get the sense that Mark wants to be this face and wants to be out there in front of everything?
Maybe not in front of everything. But, and again, the national perspective is always going to be unique because they have a much, you know, they're looking at 32 teams, not just one locally like we're able to do for the most part. And, but, Bill, I think when the power structure was reshuffled, when Mark Murphy went from the guy doing the financial meetings and the guy talking about Title Town and Sledding Hills to the guy who, when he was introducing Matt LaFleur as head coach, and he had LaFleur up there, he had Brian Gutekunst up there, and then he himself, Mark Murphy's up there. I mean, he dominated that press conference. Mark Murphy did. And I think he's just that kind of personality. This has been true for a long time with Mark Murphy. Just like that's just kind of the guy he is, where he's going to, you know, drop a swear word in the middle of a press conference and he's going to, you know, laugh about it. And, you know, he's that kind of guy. Bill, I would say it sounds like you and I might differ at least slightly on this. I do think he wants to be, or maybe not wants to be, but maybe felt he had to be the pseudo-owner of this franchise, at least for a year or two. Now, I know he said he's going to kind of fade in the background and kind of go back to being less involved, and I think that remains to be seen. If that happens, and if we don't hear a Mark Murphy press conference until a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, then I think we can – and again, if things go well – then we can say that, yeah, this was just a temporary moment in time that Mark Murphy came in, decided that Ted Thompson had become so isolated from the media, so siloed in his operation of talking with his assistants and talking with his coaching staff, that something had to change. But this is the Mark Murphy, like, print on the organization. This will be known as, at least temporarily, as the Mark Murphy era. Until it becomes the LaFleur era, if it ever does, until it becomes the Gutekunst era, if that happens, right now, if you were to tell me to pick, I'd say we're mostly living in the Mark Murphy era, unless or until he fades into the background more. So I'm going to give it time to play out. I'm not going to make, you know, too many snap judgments at the moment, but I think it's at least fair to say that whether it was by need or by want, that he did kind of take over the operations of this team. And again, I think what will happen, Bill, is if this works, if LaFleur is great, if Gutekunst is great, Mark Murphy's enough involved where, you know, we're talking about a statue for the guy. Mm-hmm. And if it goes down in flames, he will be blamed. So in terms of, like, because you can usually sometimes measure things in terms of credit, blame. If this goes really well, who's going to get the credit? If this goes really poorly, who's going to get the blame? I think what's going to happen, Bill, is if the Packers have a great season, the Packers win the Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl and lose, I think most people will end up giving a lot of credit to Murphy. If they go 6-10 the next 2 years, everyone's going to blame Murphy. So I think I understand the perspective because of that, that would say this is very much the stamp that Murphy has put on it, and now we kind of wait to see if he truly does fade into the background a little bit more.
Paul, good stuff. As always, we'll chat again later in the week, okay?
All right, sounds good, Bill.
All right, buddy, talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. You heard Nathaniel Hackett coming up here at the bottom. We are going to hear from Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. He's going to give us a lowdown as to his take on Nathaniel Hackett, also on the new head coach, Matt LaFleur. That is all upcoming, but I want to know your thoughts on all of this. If you want to light the lines, 855-830-8648.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.